Welcome to another inspirational message from Atmosphere Church. For more content like this, visit atmospherechurch.com.
These past few weeks, this past month, God has been repeating to me, kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. No matter where I read, in the Old Testament, kingdom, in the New Testament, kingdom, in the Gospels, kingdom, in the book of Revelation, kingdom. I can't escape from it. But I'm excited because God has been stirring in my heart this message. And I want us to not only just hear it, but be impregnated with the kingdom vision. Amen. So what is today's message? Today's message is this: coming before the king. Okay? Coming before the king. This is an important, I would say, teaching for all of us, because we need to know how to address God. And we need to know how to talk to him. And not just talk to him, but also talk for him. This is an important ministry, that you minister to him to then minister to people. Okay? So, coming before the king. The first thing I want to say is this. How many of you guys realize that depending on the person that you talk to, you talk differently? Your tone of voice changes? I hope that the way that you talk at work is not the same as you talk to your hood rat friends, okay? It better not be the same, okay? Or, for example, when you talk to your parents, hopefully that's different than how you talk to your boys. You know, let's treat our parents with respect, right? That's how we talk to them. We treat them with respect. You know, we don't use slang in front of our parents because perhaps they don't understand those words. Or when you're at school, I'm sure that you talk a certain way, right? When you're at work, you talk a certain way. And then when you're at church, we all talk church-like, right? And this is important. I'm not talking about this, that we don't have integrity, that we're fake because we're always changing our way of talk wherever we go. No, this is actually a normal part of life. We should change how we talk in different scenarios. That's what I want to preach about today, how to talk kingdom depending on the scenario that you are in, okay? So I want to talk about the first way of how to talk in the kingdom, or the first way to pray to God. This is one way. When we are in the kingdom, okay, when the Bible describes his kingdom, the king is Jesus. The king is our God. And when we come before the king, we shouldn't come before him with entitlement. We come before him bowed down and in humility, right? That's how we should address our king. So let's go to Philippians 4:6. It'll teach us how to talk in the kingdom of God. So once again, for those of you who weren't listening, we're talking about the different ways of talking in the kingdom, depending on the scenario that you are in. So this is number one, Philippians 4:6. And this is some good stuff. Do not be anxious, or don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Isn't that amazing? That's a crazy word. Rather than worry every day, what if we prayed every day? Whether being anxious about things, instead, let's pray about everything that we're anxious about. And this is a crazy thing, because I believe many of us, when we are bold speakers or when we talk, we always talk about our worries. We always talk about our problems. We always go into a self-pity mode. I don't know if you've ever seen this, or maybe you are like this, or maybe you know someone like this, that is always about self-pity. No one invites me. No one likes me. Or I'm always down. I'm always broke. Someone who's always negative. You talk to them. You see them at the mall and you say, hey, what's going on? I'm tired and I'm busy. You know, I just wanted to hear, hi, I'm good. You know, how are you doing? No, I'm kidding. But some people are self-pity, you know, self-loathing. They're always calling that over their life. How are you doing today? No, I'm tired. I'm broke. I don't have enough. I'm not enough. And the thing is that we're constantly declaring and speaking negativity. But rather than speak negativity, what if we began to speak our prayers? We began to speak faith. We began to speak positivity. So this is one thing, that when we come before God, let's not be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything. Here's the first way of talking, supplication. Say supplication with me. Okay, what is supplication? Supplication is this, that literally when you come into the throne room of the king, okay, when you go inside of the kingdom and you go inside of the palace, how do you go inside of the palace? All entitled, yo, I am, you know, I'm all worthy, you know, I have all the rights, I am the king. No, of course not. How would you address, you know, the Queen of England, for example? I believe all of us would, you know, bow down and, you know, feel a little, you know, intimidated. When we go before the throne, you know, of course, we would be respectful and honoring. So in the same way, the king, when we see the King of Kings, I'm talking about God, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, the out of his mouth comes galaxies. Out of his mouth, there is power. That king, when we come before him, we shouldn't come entitled. Because I want to tell you this, you're not entitled to anything. You're not entitled to anything. You are not, you know, when we pray to God, we can't say, God, give me this job because it belongs to me. And just give it to me because it belongs to me. God says, come with supplication. Come before me because we don't deserve anything. And I want to tell you something that might sound or resonate strange with you. But I want to tell you this, that if God didn't give you what you asked for, he would still be a good God. If God didn't do what you have been praying for, he would still be just and he would still be amazing and righteous. And therefore, when I come before the king, the one who has the final word, the one that has power, I must come to him with petitions, with supplication, humble, not entitled, but humble before him and say, God, this is what I want. Okay? There are things that you should, you know, that you should understand that you don't deserve, but you come before him saying, God, I don't deserve this, but I this is what I want. This is the desires of my heart. And notice that it says here, we cannot separate supplication or petition with thanksgiving. Here's the thing. You cannot go into the throne room of God saying, God, give me this while complaining about what he has already given to you. It is supplication and thanksgiving. God, I come before you. This is what I need and this is what I want. And thank you for what you have already given to my life. Thank you, God. I appreciate what you've given to me. But at the same time, God, I am not complacent. I still want more. Amen. That's how we come before the king. So I'm teaching you right now how to talk to the king in different scenarios, okay? So this is the moment of supplication. But let me tell you, the word thanksgiving not only just means giving thanks with your words, but did you know that in the ancient times, when people would come before the king, that they would not come empty-handed, okay? They would come with their treasures. They would come. And remember, God doesn't just want your money, but he wants your heart as well. Come before the king with a treasure, with something to honor to him. I want to give you a scenario. In the Bible, we see the King Solomon. To King Solomon, he was the wealthiest man that lived at that time. And the Bible says that there came a queen called the Queen of Sheba. Have we read that? Yeah. The Queen of Sheba appears before King Solomon. And what happens is that Queen Sheba wants something out of Solomon. And she knows that the custom when appearing before a king is that you bring something. The Bible says that she brought caravans of gold, caravans of ivory, of different spices. She came to impress Solomon. Now, here's the key. Okay, this is crazy. She came, Queen of Sheba, she came to impress King Solomon, brought all of that before him. And then Solomon, what he did is that he said, okay, ask me whatever you want. You've impressed me with that giving, with that thanksgiving. And the Bible says this, that the Bible says that she left that place satisfied of all the desires that were in her heart because she first outpoured and gave everything she had. But notice this is the beautiful part. Get ready to catch this promise. When you try to impress a king, you know what the custom is? The king tries to impress you. Here's all the caravans. Here's everything I have. Solomon said, you know what? You're going to go back with the caravans that you came, with the camels you came, and with more. Because you try to impress me, well, I'm going to release more over your life. You want God, the king, to release more into your life. What we need to do is come into his presence, ask for a petition with thanksgiving. Amen. So that's the beautiful part. You want something of God, you come to him in his presence, giving thanks with whatever you have, your heart, with words, with money, whatever it is that you have within you, give it to God. Amen. So this is the first step, supplication. Now, I want to read this verse to you. It paints us a picture of what God is like. In Daniel 7:9, and once the team has it there, just shout at me and say amen. No pressure, media team. Daniel 7:9. Oh, they got it. Awesome. So it says this. This is Daniel speaking. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days. That's crazy. This is how he's describing God. The Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Look at the words. The court was seated and the books were open. Daniel had an important picture to tell us. That remember that in ancient times, kings weren't only just royalty, they were also judges. That's the interesting part. That kings had their own courtrooms. And the king's word would be final. He would say life or death. The king's word was final. And the king was the one that judged. Now, this is important. Because what Daniel is telling us is this. Who is your God? God is the Ancient of Days. You know what that means? When the Bible says that his hair was white, that his clothes are white, that was talking about wisdom. You know, that's one thing I can't wait for until I get my gray hairs. Man, because that speaks wisdom. People just look at you and say, oh, that guy's, you know when you see a guy that looks like Gandalf and you're like, that guy's wise. That person has wisdom. So he saw God with white hair and also with a garment that is white, speaking wisdom. And the Ancient of Days means that God has been there from the beginning, from the start. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He has been there billions of years before our existence. How can we not trust his judgment? How can we not trust that what he says is good is actually good? And what he says no to you about is because you shouldn't have it. We should trust God. And so in this picture, what I want to tell you is this. When we are coming before God into his courtroom, we come as citizens of the kingdom with the right to ask for judgment and justice. I want you to understand this. This form of talking is called this intercession. Intercession, where we say to God, God, I appeal before you in the heavenly courtroom. Whatever the situation is, I appeal to you in the heavenly courtroom, asking you, God, to judge righteously. This is crazy. Imagine if you went and prayed in your room and just said, God, I enter into your courtroom as a citizen of your kingdom, and I ask that you judge righteously for all the enemies, for all the demonic activity, the oppression in my life, the sicknesses over my life. God, I pray that I appeal to your courtroom. And this is the powerful part. You know, the Apostle Paul says something so cool, so interesting. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, hey, Corinthians, you know your royalty. You know you're part of the kingdom. And did you not know, he says, that you will also judge angels. And that's very interesting. If you ever read that part, what does that mean? You will judge angels. That's crazy. I believe that what the Apostle Paul is referring to here is not really that we're judging good angels. You're not going to go there and judge Archangel Michael or Gabriel. You're not there going to be judging them. But what are the angels that we will judge? You know, before the demons are sent into the lake of fire, did you know that you will be judging them? That has to be powerful. That has to be amazing. For every little thing that demons have done in my life, I'm going to judge them. I'm going to appeal to the courtroom and say, you know what? This demon did this to me. This thing oppressed me. This demon had been hurting my finances, my family, my education, my church. And you will judge them. That's powerful. This is the power, the authority that you have when you appeal to the courtroom. Because when you go into the courtroom, you also are a judge. You also are royalty. You are also a person of authority. That has to be amazing. Give an applause to God. We will be judges of our enemies. Yeah. And then this is the other part of speaking. So this is called communion and fellowship. That another way that we talk to God is that we talk to Him in communion and fellowship. This is, you know, just talking to God wherever we go. Whether you're on the elevator, whether you're on the TTC, whether you are driving, you know, there are moments where I just need some God time. And it doesn't have to be like crazy spiritual. I don't need to put music or anything. I just say, God, I just want to be with you in this moment. You know, I just want to be with you right now. I just want to have communion with you. I want to tell you this. You know, when you speak to God in communion, remember, talking back about about a kingdom society or being inside of the kingdom, when you are sitting with the king, imagine yourself sitting at the table of the king, talking to him, dining with him. I want to tell you this, that usually, you know, dinner time is a time of special moments, especially within families. You know, I think it may have been a while since my family has had like a dinner time like we used to back in the day. I remember that my dad would always force us, no matter if you're in the middle of the craziest game, no matter if you're on call of duty, and when dad says, you know, you have to come down to eat, you come down. It didn't matter what we were doing, so I would always log off MSN and then go downstairs. Yeah, how many of you guys remember Hotmail? Yeah. Am I the only one? Am I that old? I'm sorry. Okay. So we would always have prime time, and that's what I'm getting at. We would always have prime time with our family. Those are the moments where we can share and talk, and that was amazing. You know, we should all have those kind of prime time moments within our families. But in the same way, I got to ask you this. What kind of time do we give to God? Do we give Him the leftover time? I'm talking about some of us are so busy all day that the time that we give to God is right before we fall asleep. God, I love you and thank you for this day. And then we knock out. That's communion with God. Okay, I'm a fan of soaking, but if all you're doing is just soaking to fall asleep, that's called sloking. Yeah, if, you know, we should have communion with God. You know, be intentional. Giving Him prime time. Giving Him the best of our time. If you do that, I guarantee your life will change forever. If you give God the best of your time. So that's called communion. That's called fellowship with God. This is where you talk to God as a friend, as a father, as a best friend. Okay? So now, here's something that's crazy. We've been so far talking about how to talk to God, or how to speak in the kingdom within the confines of the king in the palace, okay? When we're in the palace, we speak to God with petitions. We speak to God as if He's in the courtroom. And also we speak to God as a friend within the confines of the palace. But I want to tell you this. How do you talk in the kingdom when you are outside of the palace? How do you address? Now here's the crazy part. This is what I want to get to. I want to tell you that when you're outside, you represent the king. You are called an ambassador. Therefore, within the palace, I'm so sweet with the Heavenly Father. I talk to Him as a friend. I appeal to Him in the courtroom. And I pray, God, please heal the sick. God, please save the souls. God, I love you with all my heart. and you give him your petitions. But when you step out into the public, you are an ambassador carrying the kingdom of God. I want to tell you this, that many of the times as ambassadors, look, we have the voice of the king and we got to speak with his authority. You know, in the Bible, when we see when Jesus would teach his disciples how to pray, how did he teach them how to pray? This is interesting because it was blowing my mind as I was reading this. Not once did Jesus say, what you need to do is beg Abba for a healing. Where does it say that? It doesn't say that. Jesus never taught them beg for Abba to heal the sick. He said he would teach them this. Come out, stand up, rise up, and be healed. That's how he taught how to speak in the kingdom. But this is weird because in religion we are taught to be, you know, to be doing repetitions. But Jesus said the opposite. When you pray in public, don't pray with repetitions. Just declare. And this is what I'm trying to get at. When you are an ambassador of the kingdom, begin to declare the words of God. We see this even in Peter's life. When you look at Peter, okay, when Peter would pray for the sick, would he, you know, when he was passing by a person that was paralytic, the Bible doesn't say that he went up to him and began to say, I hope, God, I hope that you can heal this person if it is your will. How did Peter pray? How was Peter taught to pray? He said, I don't have money, but stand up and walk. That was his prayer. This is crazy. These are decrees. This is declarations. This is amazing. This ought to change the way that you talk in the kingdom. We declare in the kingdom of God. And you might be saying this, but I'm confused, Pastor, because I thought we're not able to manipulate God. How can we speak with such confidence? Aren't we manipulating God? He's not our genie. We have to do everything that is in his will. But I want to tell you this. You can speak in authority when you know the person you are speaking for. You know, an ambassador isn't just hired and placed as an ambassador of a nation just because he's brand new. You know, he would spend time with the king. He would spend moments, long time with the president or prime minister or whoever he's representing. He spends time to know how they talk, how they think, how they would act. You know, in our conference about like 2-3 years ago, we had a Pastor Hubert come to our church. And it was something impactful that he said to me that really like stuck in my heart, was stuck in my mind. And it is this, that Pastor Hubert said, look, I'm here in front of you. And I know that Apostle Guillermo Maldonado, which is in Miami, I know that he's not here with you right now. But I want to tell you this. Everything I say to you, it's as if the apostle was in front of you. Every word that I say, it's whatever he would say if he was here. That's crazy authority. I want to tell you what that's called. That's called delegated authority. I pray that you guys can come out of this church and be able to go to a conference or go somewhere else and say to someone, you know what, whatever I'm saying, it's as if Pastor Carlos was here telling you. Whatever I'm saying is as if my mentor or my pastor was here in front of you. Why? Because you've spent time. And in the same way, if you're an ambassador of the kingdom, if you're an ambassador for the king, you got to know how he thinks and how he talks and how he does things. And that way you act with confidence and you can declare things with confidence. So I go back to the question, but Pastor, we're not supposed to manipulate God. We're not supposed to declare things. We're not supposed to twist God's arm. How can I have the authority to declare? Can I tell you this? You shouldn't ask if it's God's will to heal. God, is it your will to heal? And then you go back to him. God, is it your will to heal? Okay, yeah? Okay, let me heal. No. Pray with authority because you already have his will. He's already said, Jesus, when he would go and pray for the sick, he would lay his hands on the sick and say, you know, be healed now. Why? Because he, from the beginning, said, I have been anointed for this reason, to proclaim healing to the sick, to proclaim freedom, deliverance for the captive. If Jesus already knew his mission, he knew what to declare. In the same way, if you already know what God has spoken in his word, you don't need to check again. God, is it your will to deliver? Father, please deliver this person. No. You have the authority of God. Declare it. Cast out the demon. Heal the sick. Go and preach the gospel. Why? Because I have the authority already. I am the carrier of a kingdom already. Because I have received the voice of the king. I carry the voice of the king. And I can release the voice of the king. Amen. Speaking with authority. This got to change our life. You know, when I was doing this preaching, and as God was speaking to me, I just felt this conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because notice this. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus, he says, I have been anointed for this reason. I have been anointed for this reason. To proclaim. I have never heard of an anointed person beg. An anointed person proclaims. Come on. A prince does not beg. A prince proclaims the voice of his king. You are a prince and a princess. You are the sons and daughters of the king. And for that reason, we got to learn to declare. Now, here's the thing. What can I have freedom to declare? When it has to do with healing, declare it. When it has to do with deliverance, declare it and proclaim it. When it has to do with breakthrough, proclaim it. But everything else, go in supplication to the king. I cannot say, God, give me my promotion because it's mine. No, you don't deserve anything. God, break me free from my debt. Well, you don't deserve to be forgiven of your debt. You got there all by yourself. There's a reason why you're in debt. So we come in supplication to God for those things. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, go and proclaim it. Go and declare it. Are we understanding this? Yeah, this is the preaching of the good news with power. Man, if you look throughout the scriptures, the Apostle Paul would declare, the Apostle Peter would declare, healings would happen through declarations. And that's the kind of language I want to hear in this youth group, in this generation, that we speak this way when it comes to healing, that we can speak with boldness. Imagine what that would be, speaking with boldness for crazy things. Amen. So that's amazing. We carry the voice of the king. Now, here's the thing. What else can I be bold about? Okay? And I'm going to finish off with this. What else can we be bold about? You know, if I'm a king, I can proclaim the good news, and I can proclaim healing, deliverance. I can proclaim those things with all authority. But what else can I declare? I want to tell you this. Be bold when it comes to declaring your identity. When Jesus was interrogated by the Sanhedrin, when he was interrogated by the high priests, you know, the Bible says that the high priests were interrogating Jesus. They were beating him. They were spitting at him. They were taking down his identity. And they were asking him questions, and he just kept his mouth shut. But he opened his mouth the minute that they questioned his identity. The minute that they said, but are you the Son of God? Guess what he says? He says, you said it. You said it. You know, that is an ancient saying in modern times, if you really want to translate what he said, he was literally saying, you bet I am. When they were asking him, are you the Son of God? He proclaimed his identity. He said, you bet I am. You have said it. It's as you have said. I want to tell you this. When it comes to defending your identity, defending, proclaiming your identity, when Satan comes to you, even though you may be broke, and Satan comes to you and says, aren't you a child of God? Haven't you been given tithes and offerings? Aren't you a son of God? Well, you tell him, you bet I am. It's as you have said, I am a son of God. Oh, what? You're a great preacher, but no one comes to your connect group? Well, I am a leader. You bet I am. No matter what it is that the enemy is throwing at you, you go and tell him, it's as you have said it. I am the son of God. I am royalty. When it comes to people trying to take you down in your identity, in your calling, remember, you're an ambassador. Remember that you are somebody. And that's what we have to declare it as well. Yeah, you know, every time that the enemy has come, you know, into my life to try and bring discouragement into me, those are the very moments where I ask, Holy Spirit, allow me to proclaim my identity. And though you call it crazy or whatever, but I follow the advice that our pastor has given to us. Stand in front of a mirror and begin to declare, proclaim things over your life. I am a good person. I am anointed. I will proclaim the gospel. I am worthy. Begin to declare those things with boldness. Why are we shy about those things? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Be bold. The Holy Spirit has emboldened you to proclaim your identity. What is the one thing He makes you shout? Abba, Father. He's making you be bold about your identity. Amen. I hope someone is learning today of how to address in the kingdom of God. But notice this. When we see Jesus being interrogated by the priest, notice that He knew when to speak and when not to. If we have the voice of the King, if we speak in the kingdom of God, we know when to speak and when not to speak. How many times have you gotten in trouble because you've spoken out of line? How many times have you, you know, yeah, I've been caught with that many times. You know, when you're caught, you know, saying something or you didn't know the answer, but you just said something anyways. Amen. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. Proverbs says it's better to just be silent and people think, will think that you're wise. That's what Proverbs says. So in other words, you know, when people are talking like high-end stuff that you don't know anything about, just nod your head and just be, yeah, yeah. Actually, when I'm in the barbershop and everyone's talking about sports and stuff, I don't know anything. You know, they're talking about, you know, something about the last game that happened, that this guy called Junior, you know, did a bad job or something like that. And I was like, yeah, man, that guy sucks. So I didn't even know what they were talking about. But anyways, that's what it... Wise people don't just speak out. You know, you need to know when to speak and when not to. Amen. And the other thing is this, that the Bible tells us this, and I think this is something that all of us here can work on, including myself, that the Bible says that how can it be that words of prophecy or words from God come out of the same mouth where filth comes out? How much filth have we been saying? Oh man, I'm the first person to come up here to the altar tonight. How much filth has come out of our mouth? We need to be cleansed so that we can profess good things of the kingdom of God. Amen.